Admiral Levadi invited the captains of all the ships that would be in his convoy to dinner aboard his flagship. Esme, who had last seen Vigilance under Harris Serrano's command, wondered how many of Harris's crew were aboard. Levadi himself impressed her as a competent officer, much like her own father. He had a pleasant comment for each officer as he shook hands.
You're the most recent arrival from Castle Rock. Tell us, Lieutenant Sweezer, about the latest gossip.
I'm sure you know all the fleet news, sir, but had you heard about the fugitive from Benignity?
A fugitive? No. Tell us.
He was on a ship I took from Trinidad to Castle Rock, a merchanter. He claimed to be a priest in the Benignity who had to flee because he was the last confessor for someone important, and his government was afraid, because he was a heretic, that he'd reveal what he heard.
Do you think he had any state secrets to reveal?
I don't know. He said he wouldn't tell what he knew anyway, because, heretic or not, he still considered himself bound by his oath not to.
Surely fleet intelligence will get it out of him.
He's a civilian. A priest with a monomania about some cult or something they have in the Benignity. Something to do with swords or something. Why would they be that interested in him? And anyway, they were shipping him out to the Guarnesi on a diplomatic ship. He may be gone by now.
When did you meet up with him, Lieutenant?
Esme tried to calculate and failed.
Oh, sir, I've been hopping around so I really don't know.
It doesn't matter, I suppose. But just supposing he were the confessor for their head of state and bolted immediately for our borders, he might have reached familiar space before the assassination took place.
But the Benignity admitted they did it. The Council knows about it now.
Are they concerned about Benignity penetration, do you think?
Under the circumstances, with the mutiny and the assassination coming so close, I'd say they have reason to worry. The combination certainly made things easier for the Benignity. They deny having anything to do with the mutiny, but someone's come forward to say that Bakari and Adrish had said favorable things about discipline in the Benignity forces. Of course, there were people saying that I had expressed treasonous ideas when it was to their benefit.
So you don't believe it?
Sir, I haven't the data on which to form an opinion. I know that, unfortunately, gossip and rumor can be taken as truth, with dire consequences for the subjects of it. On the other hand, what I learned about the Benignity while talking to Simon, to the priest, certainly makes a connection sound more possible. The mutineers say the rest of us are undisciplined, soft, self-indulgent. That's what the Benignity says about the Familius, too. I haven't heard of the mutineers being religious particularly, and Simon says the Benignity would not sanction anything like that hunting business, but the mutineers might think it did.
You're fair-minded for someone who's been burnt twice now on the basis of rumor, Lieutenant. It does you credit. What do the rest of you think?
Where there's smoke, there's usually fire, sir. I mean, I know rumor isn't always true, but on something this important, it probably is. If the Benignity's behind the mutiny, they don't even have to like the mutineers. They could just be supporting it from a distance.
But we don't want to be conspiracy theorists. I mean, what if they started looking for everyone who'd ever served under Lupescu? Or any of the people now leading the mutiny? And then for everyone who'd ever had a friend or relative from the Benignity for two generations back or so? My grandfather stowed away and came to Familius Space as a boy. How do you know he wasn't some deep agent or something, instead of just a scared teenager who wanted a better life somewhere else?
So that's where you got your weird ideas, Pete.
It's not funny.
Gentlemen, I hardly think Fleet's going to start another witch hunt. Reasonable caution, yes, but Lieutenant Bondi has a fine record, which I'm sure will overwhelm any trifling concern about his grandfather. It certainly does with me.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry I brought it up.
No, it's a reasonable question. And it's not something to joke about, especially not now.
No, sir. My apologies, sir. And Pete, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to torque you at a time like this. Misplaced sense of humor.
It's all right.
Let me show you the ship. You can meet the personnel you'll be communicating with. And for those of you who haven't had cruiser duty, here's a chance to familiarize yourselves.
Levadi started at the bottom, perhaps to give tempers and tensions time to dissipate as they clambered down the many ladders. Esme admired this way of handling a difficult interaction. Riding down in the officer's lift, they would have been immobile and staring at one another's backs or the grill. Environmental first, then up to engineering, where almost the first person they saw was Petrus Kenvenard, who recognized Esme.
Lieutenant Sweezer, good to see you again.
You know Sweezer?
Yes, sir, we've met before. She's one of my Harris's favorite young officers.
With reason, no doubt. Lieutenant, you've had cruiser duty. If you'd like to stop and chat with Mr. Kenvenard...
Don't let me slow you down, Lieutenant. But I heard you'd gotten Rascal. Congratulations. Tell Rudy, Master Chief Humberley, I said hello.
Thanks, and I will.
Esme went on, cheered more than she would have liked to admit to know Harris Serrano's good opinion of her from someone else. Harris had stood up for her at the family gathering, but this was proof of a longer-standing opinion. When they came to the great generators that powered the beam weapons, and Lavati rattled off the specs, Esme realized again just how big an upgrade Rascal had. Vigilance still had more firepower, but the gap had narrowed appreciably. She trailed behind, trying to calculate exactly the size of the remaining gap.
Lieutenant Sweeza! I heard you shook up the Serranos.
That was Methlin Mahari, another of Harris Serrano's old crew.
Rumor flies. I hope it's settled now.
Mahari fell in step beside her.
Nothing's ever settled for good. Did you hear about my baby brother?
I didn't know you had a baby brother.
He was stationed at the high security brig on Copper Mountain. Same one where Lepescu stuck me and the others. Idiot. I suppose he wanted to see if he could understand his big sister better. Anyway, he figured out that bitch Bakarian was up to no good and killed her. And escaped. Nobody escapes that place. I still don't know how he did it. He's gonna have to tell me all the details. And then he told them about the mutiny. Too late. It was starting, but he tried. Little scamp.
He's your brother.
It was all Esme could think to say.
Yep, he is. Mahari all the way through. I am really, really proud of that kid. But I better not let him find out, or he'll get sassy with me.
Mahari nodded then to the end of the passage, where the others had disappeared around a corner.
Better catch up, Lieutenant. Don't forget to say hello to Kutsudis if he's on the bridge.
Esme lengthened her stride, but was delayed again by Oblo Vicissuan, coming down the ladder.
Hoped I'd catch you, Lieutenant. Just to say congratulations on your new command and your merit.
Thanks.
That's a real tidy weapons upgrade you've got on Rascal. I went over and took a look when she got in. And by the stats, she handles well, too.
She does.
Though nothing like vigilance. I also hear you got your supply problem straightened out. You know, Lieutenant, if you ever have a problem, maybe I could give you a hand. Nothing against your supply officer, but Harris, Commander Serrano, she says I have a real talent.
Esme had heard Oblo's talent for obtaining the unobtainable described as something else, but she knew it was valuable.
Thank you. I think we're fine now, but if I run into trouble...
Just give me a call. Any friend of our... of Commander Serrano's is a friend of ours. And a member of the family, I guess I should say.
I don't suppose you know why Baron's on Copper Mountain, do you? I found him on the database.
They didn't tell you about that? Hell, Lieutenant, he damn near died in the explosion.
What?
No, it's all right. He's out of the hospital. He'll be fine when he gets his strength back. I got that from a friend on the Admiral's staff. I'd have thought they'd tell you, you being his wife and all.
Esme could have clobbered him for scaring her like that. But clobbering Oblo would be like clobbering a draft horse. It wouldn't hurt him, and she might get kicked.
I better catch up.
She fled up the ladder instead, working off her fear and anger with every step. She caught up with the others. No one commented on her absence, and she hoped it hadn't been noticed. They moved on in stately procession through section after section, and finally came to the bridge. Here, docked at the station, only a skeleton crew manned the bridge. Esme looked around, but did not see Kutsudis. When Esme got back to Rascal, she called up whatever she could find about Baron's ship and its combat. Nothing useful, except that it was listed as out of action. Not destroyed, just out of action.